It starts up in what we call possibly Clyde Law. There's a hill there, and there's a on the hill there is a farm called Little Clyde Farm, and there's a wee burn passes the farm, passes almost through the farm steading area, and it's the Clyde's Burn, and it originates higher up this hillside. And there's no real sort of, this is the source of the Clyde. It's a sort of gathering of surface water from all over this hillside, gradually trickling into various bits and joining up and forming this little burn, which goes down and gets bigger and joins on with the Dar and continues down as the Clyde.
I think the building of the bridges, particularly the Erskine Bridge, kind of stopped traffic coming up there, which is a great pity because your ships come into the centre of the town, more or less, into the Broomielaw. They were unloaded there. There's a lot of people got work. Now they don't do that. And the container ships don't need an awful lot of men to handle them. A crane doesn't work for them, you know.
You can still see the odd ship down in George V Dock there, but that extended right up into Glasgow, where the present Science Centre is. You are having fairly big ships in there.
Well, the dockers were great people in a way, you know. It was a close community. The dockers went and strike, you listened to them, because they could shut the whole city down, you know. There's a lot of docks in there. The boys used to be lying down at a Clyde for weeks and then waiting to get a berth to come up with all that stuff. It was that busy, the dock, you know.
To come up to the bridges was quite a long journey, so ferries were laid on to take people at various points down from the bridgehead, if you like, at the King George V Bridge or Jamaica Bridge.
They were great wee ferries, you know. I don't think they go anywhere. They're making bridges now. Wee bridges here and there, you know. But a lot of kids used to go down there just to get a hurl on them, you know. Kid up.
There was the Renfrew ferry, if you take you from Renfrew to Yoker, which was actually great. But this ferry, there was a rope and the man there, they pulled it across. There was no engine on it.
It only took about 5 minutes and it was on a form of a chain that went across. And people used to come from Renfrew who worked in the Clyde. And if you were ever there when the men were coming off, it was just crammed full of work. And they used to wait till there was about 3 feet and jump on to land to run up and get their buses to go to work. But it's still there. Renfrew Ferry's still there. I think the original one's now a dance hall down here, but they still have the ferry.
I remember people talking about the Clyde Tunnel, and you had to be fairly healthy to get a job on it because you're underground all the time, and it was quite something to get a job in that. I can't remember when it opened, but I remember it opened. I always remember going through with the cars and looking about to see if the water was coming through, you know. But it was some feat to actually do that, you know.
It's bad enough driving, and I don't like even driving under it now, but I wouldn't like to walk under it. No, for you.
I sing of a river I'm happy beside. The song that I sing is the song of the Clyde. Of all Scottish rivers it's dearest to me. It flows from Lead Hills all the way to the sea. It borders the orchards of Lanark so fair,
meanders through meadows with sheep grazing there. But from Glasgow to Greenock, in towns on each side, the hammer's ding-dong is the song of the Clyde.
In the olden days, going down from Bridge Wharf, you passed miles of shipyards. There were riveted ships at that time, and the noise of the riveting hammers going was tremendous.
The riveting squad always thought of Gira as a heater, riveter, and when the guy put them in to the other side, and the guy, the riveter, it's hitting the working quick. Just like that, you know, catch it in the hole quick, and the guy the other side waiting on it. And you could get the big plates as thick as they were, watertight. Amazing, aye. They moved about the Gira. If there's no work in Fairfields, the river would go out to maybe some of the other yards. You need a squad, because the squad went to Gira. And they worked hard to Gira. They made good money, right enough, you know, but always in piecework, but they worked hard. Remarkable, ordinary men, you know, you think the skill they had.
There were cranes all round about the ship, and they were lowering bits of steel here and there, and people mainly riveting the parts together. Nowadays, of course, the ships are welded and are quite different structures from they were then.
But there's all the different paint shops, electrical stores, welders, riveters, and they all seem to work together. And yet they're all separate.
I was involved quite a lot of my working life in manufacturing steel. There were steelworks making steel plates for ships, and other parts making sections, you know, that for the ribs of the ships. So there was a lot of steel being made for the shipyards and for the steam boilers, which, of course, now the ships are diesel, no boiler, and it's made quite a change to the industry in Scotland. We've lost the shipyards, we've lost the locomotive works, which all required the steel, so we've now lost the steelworks.
It was the HMS Vanguard, launched by Princess Elizabeth, who's now the Queen. Yes, that was a great day. And I remember, it's ridiculous, but the mechanic that used to come and repair the machines, he hadn't realised that the Queen has such beautiful legs.
Well, the Queen launched that, Princess Elizabeth. I don't know if she was, I think she was the Queen then, she launched it. But she was there with her husband, and one of the boys was shouting, Hey Lizzie, how's it going? I know it later. But it was a lovely ship. See it slipping into the water, I don't know.
We took our sons and we had to go to the south of the river. We went to Renfrew area and crossed along, and we're in a field, and we watched her coming down the slipway from the other side. And it was just the tide just went swirling, you know, absolutely amazing. You got the whole view of her coming towards you. And then just goes into the water and then stops. You know, it just stops. And then eventually they take it down the river and to the fitting out basins. Yeah, that's amazing.
There's a wee lady sitting over there. She's down in Rossy by the Glasgow Fair. She's dressed in a hurry, but she doesn't need care. She's still got a cutlass in her hair.
Well, the Glasgow Fair was the great holiday time. First fortnight in July, Glasgow just seemed to empty. I mean, you could walk along the street and hardly meet a soul in these days because everybody was away on holiday. But it was a close down at Glasgow Fair. The shipyards all closed down, the big factories all closed down, and everybody just seemed to get out of the place as quick as they could.
Kids were all young, you couldn't afford to go anywhere. Well, flying holidays were no for us, you know. People that owned the boat. Meet today with the Clyde, you know. You never get seasick of the Clyde, you know. It's the best we could get at the time, you know.
That is where I remember going down to Dunoon and Rossy on holiday. And when you went to Wimms Bay and then took the steamer across, you were told to run ahead, dear. And this was because your mother hadn't bought you a ticket. You had to run ahead. And we had some good times in Rossy.
There was an atmosphere at that time of people going on holiday and everybody was enjoying themselves, and it was great, you know.
I can't always remember it being sunny, but we enjoyed ourselves.
Oh, me no.
Imagine we've left Craig and Dorn behind, and wind happy yachts by Kilcreggan we find. At Kern and Dunoon and in Ellen we stay. Then Scotland's Madeira, that's Rossy we say. Or maybe by Fairlie and Largs we will go, or over to Millport that thrills people so. Maybe journey to Arran, it can't be denied. Those scenes all belong to the Song of the Clyde.
The ships of the olden days are kind of romantic memories to a lot of people.
But there were some lovely boats. That Empress of Scotland, before it went away, I went down, didn't you? There was a ballroom in it, you know. You never seen it in your life, you know. Only for the rich, but beautiful, you know. Spotless.
The brasswork on these boats was absolutely sparkling, and so was the woodwork. The woodwork on these boats was highly polished. They kept them so clean, they were great.
They did look after the ships, I must say. The any long distance between piers, the crew would be doing something or another to tidy things up and polish the brasses, that sort of thing.
And you could go down to the engine room and see the engine room in most of these boats. And they were highly polished as well. I mean, there must have been somebody standing there just doing nothing else but polishing.
Oh yes, you went down to see the engines. You went down the stairs and you could see these engines, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. And it was the smell of the oil. It was the smell, you remember, the smell. Yes, they were very good. It was fascinating. Have you never been down an engine? No, no, because they don't have them now, do they? You haven't lived, you see. You haven't lived.
In the sort of coal-fired days of the ships, the likes of the paddle steamers, you sometimes with quite a lot of ash and hot stuff coming out of the funnels.
You still get sitting here, a funnel because it was warm, you know. I forgot about the soot coming down. I was sitting, how's it going? You're warm, isn't it? What you got up? You see your face.
Well, yes, there's a bit of smoke, and then you got the paddle steamers, you hear the paddles going all the time, but the music put that out of the game. You couldn't hear the paddles very much for the music sound.
And there was always shops on board. You know, you could get sweets. And of course, men, even then, the first thing they did was go to the bar. There was always a bar. You could get a drink.
As soon as you moved away from the Clyde, the bar opened. You looked at the deck, there was a woman that was there, men were doing this.
During the time of the day, they got a wee bit more merrier and they danced a wee bit more. It was very, very good, and a very, very good day.
No, we only went down the Clyde, we went to Dunoon. But on special holidays, my parents used to take us from the Broomalaw on one of the ships, and we used to sail the whole way down to Rossie. Because once you got onto a tram to the Broomalaw, and then that was you in Rossie, and you sailed down there. And it was amazing because you went right through all the shipyards, and there was men working up in these ships, and they'd give you a wave, and you'd wave back. And there was also, they played entertainers, there was fiddlers played on the boat. So it was very good. Yes, but that was your holiday. I mean, occasionally you would go further afield, like St Andrews, Aberdeen, but it was the Clyde, you know. You went down the Clyde.
Ladies and gentlemen, 100,000 welcome from Mr. Glasgow himself, Glenn Neely.
And if you've seen some of these boats going down the Clyde, you think, my God, they're going to tip over. You know, the hundreds of people on the deck, and the people down below, and they were dancing, and they were, you know, the music was going, and you could hear the music on the standing on the banks of the Clyde passing, you could hear the music of this thing going. You know, fiddling and the accordion and all this sort of thing. It was very entertaining. Yeah. There was actually 100,000 people got off the boats in one day into Dunoon. But on, you know, various boats throughout the day, but they reckon there was 100,000 people got off it just in Dunoon. So it could be a busy place.
When sun sets on Dockland, there's beauty to see. The cry of a seabird is music to me. The blast of a horn loudly echoes, and then a stillness descends on the water again. 'Tis here that the seagoing liners are born, but unlike the salmon, they seldom return. Can you wonder the Scots o'er the ocean so wide should constantly long for the song of the Clyde?
For all you were only part and parcel of what was done in the ships, you felt when it was going away, you know. And mainly, the Clyde made all the money for building good ships. You get a boat there to last for your lifetime. The men that built it knew that and all. They were getting the work because they were good. Then it's happy days. Going way that ships were going out of fashion. They weren't building ships the way the Clyde built. They didn't need it. You want it 2 years, 3 years work out a ship, scrap it, you know, build another one. Because one time, you built a ship to last forever.
The Clyde ships are all over the world, you know, they really are.
Fairfield Shipbuilding and Engineering Company, a yard famous throughout the world for the ships that came from the air.
or the River Clyde, the wonderful Clyde. The name of it thrills me and fills me with pride. And I'm satisfied, whate'er may be tied. The sweetest of songs is the song of the Clyde.